This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Derek Taylor is not happy. This is Overdrive. I'm Matthew Cause. That's Derek Taylor filling in for Jeff O'Neill, Jamie McLennan, and, of course, Brian Hayes. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope wherever you are, you don't have thunder and rain coming on you, but there's a watch, a severe thunderstorm watch for southern Ontario.
So southern.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario.
Loved it. Loved it.
You are not happy with this little news story.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
There you go.
In other related news stories, if someone will give TSN $10 million, they will consider never having me appear on the air again. Like, come on! If random thing happens, then this could happen.
You're angry. Here's the thing.
Come on.
And what Mr. Taylor is upset about is the idea. Kevin McGran came on, was on Naylor and Landsberg with Michael Landsberg, and it was Ryan Doyle from News Talk 1010, and was talking about the idea of, you know, eventually, you know, Drew Doughty coming to the Maple Leafs, and, you know, you connect a couple dots where maybe the Kings eventually are going to look to rebuild, and you know that Doughty's got 2 years left at $7 million per, and after that he's going to be 10 plus. He's from here. He has expressed he loves Toronto.
Oh, is he from Toronto?
He's not from Toronto. He's from London. Excuse me. London, Ontario.
Is he from Ontario?
Yeah.
Is he an Ontario guy?
So,
okay,
here's my question to you.
Yeah.
Because we will not go into the speculation game, okay? Okay, that's going to be my gift for you.
We confirm we will not go into the speculation. We're not just speculating and we won't speculate. We are saying.
Yes. Will this replace the John Tavares conversation? Because Tavares had a chance on July 1st to sign an extension and did not with the New York Islanders. And after Stamkos, when he signed his big deal back in June 29th of 2016, then Stamkos of last year was taken off the market. So then it's like, who could be the big name guy for the Maple Leafs? Who's that big star? And then it became Tavares was a name that would get mentioned and would make Leaf fans excited. Will Doughty replace that?
Yeah.
I'm asking you a question.
I know.
You don't have to answer if you don't want.
Maybe.
There's 4,000 things we can talk about today.
I don't. Rumor mills.
And by the way, don't totally denigrate rumor mills. Rumor mills are fun for sports fans. I love rumors. Okay, I am a big fan of it. When, you know, if it has some sort of inkling, and you got to build up enough of a logic mountain for me to want to climb to the peak of that rumor, you know. And I'm at base camp with the Drew Doughty one, but I'm not climbing yet.
I would want some sort of substance to it before. I want the current rumor, Adrian Wojnarowski, to say, hey, Houston and New York involved in a four-team trade.
Before Carmelo Anthony.
Looking at this four-team trade. There's some substance to that. It's not just straight-up speculation. I covered soccer for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor mill in soccer is 50 times more annoying than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Victor Valdez is going to get $100 million €100 million to transfer to Manchester United. You're like, that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie.
But it'd be a great coup for Man U.
This was like 2011. That's a lie. No player's gone for that much. No keeper's gone for even one-fifth that much. What are you talking about? You're just lying. Stop lying to me, you lying liars, and the lies that you tell.
Okay, so you're not a huge fan.
Yeah,
I embrace the rumor more than you do, but I promise this story will not, we're not going to go heavy on it.
Are you more Toronto than I am, do you think?
Yes.
Is that fair to say? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I grew up in Etobicoke.
Yeah, okay, there you
so
go.
I've had a 416 phone number for 42 years.
Have you really?
Yes.
Nice.
My entire life, I've had a 416 phone number.
What if you got a new cell phone and someone tried to give you a 647?
No.
I'm
416. I won't give my number out on air. Not that I'm actually arrogant enough to think a lot of people would call me. I'm not that big. But no, I like my 416 phone number on my BlackBerry, and it will not change.
I don't like that you have a BlackBerry, but yeah.
You're techno shaming, which we're going to get into also.
I'm not great on the rumor mil in any sport. I guess I, to some degree, I find it interesting in basketball because
that's because you're a basketball guy.
I love some basketball. But,
yeah. But hold up. That's hypocritical. You should treat it the same way. You should treat it the same way. The same way this Doughty one, you know, the same way, whatever the NBA equivalent.
I was not at all interested in the 2 years of lead up to, oh, Kevin Durant might leave Oklahoma City. Because there was nothing to it. Oh, Kevin Durant's friends say behind the scenes that he's going to go. This, like the whole current Paul George is going to go to the Lakers.
Yep.
Paul George apparently told the Pacers he didn't want to stay there, so they traded him to OKC. No one's said that Paul George has said he wants to go to the Lakers. It's Paul George's people say he wants to go to the Lakers. So I don't even like that one. And I love ball, but I don't. This LeBron to the Lakers, I don't buy.
See, I love all of it. There's a part of me that loves all of it. I love reckless speculation if you can back it up a little bit because it's fun. It's part of sports, and also it's July 12th. We'll talk about the All-Star Game. Thank God Robinson Cano hit a home run in the 10th, so it's like that game ended.
Oh, was the All-Star Game yesterday?
Yeah, apparently it was.
I was watching football.
Yeah, so here's the thing, is that, you know, these sort of stories are going to they're gonna hang around a little bit longer. Now, if you want real news, would you need it?
I was going to make some, just according to, there's a chance, there's an outside chance that Milos Raonic will announce his retirement later today. Just saying, there's an outside chance. It could happen.
It could.
It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen as early as tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, after Federer, after the first two sets, it took less than an hour. It took, and I know the third set, you know, was really competitive, but Federer with Milos, for under an hour, the first two sets were done.
When I woke up, I turned that game on, turned the match on, pardon me, and I looked at it, I'm like, is that the clock of the running time of the match, because it was like 1:05 at that point, and it was already two sets to love, and I'm like, oh, this is unfortunate.
All right, so Derek, your body has been infected with rumor and speculation with Drew Doughty, so I'm going to inject into you a little bit of actual real news. Would you like a little bit of real news?
Yes, and let's get back to the Doughty thing a little later in the show.
We will. Maple Leafs have signed their first round pick, 17th overall, Timothy Liljegren. It's assigned him to the three-year entry-level contract. So the 18-year-old, 17th overall pick in this just recently completed draft has been signed. I mean, it's a formality. We knew it was going to happen. It has happened. So he has signed a three-year deal. Liljegren, of course, was participating in the team's development camp at the MasterCard Center in Toronto this week.
And according to people who were there, he is a really smooth autographer. Like, when he signs it.
Smooth autograph?
It is. Oh, man.
And
it flows.
He's great at taking that autograph and passing it up, like just moving it, just a smooth-moving one.
I know Leaf people are high on him just from, and this is because I've heard it, people like you and people here at 1050 say it. Was it a sure thing he was going to sign this deal? Like, he wasn't going to stick?
There was none of that.
He was never going to stay?
No, there was none of that sort of, like, you know, warring smoke at the other side of the hill where there's like, uh-oh, there's going to be an army is coming, a war is coming. No, there was none of that from
his camp. But just that he might not sign it till next a year from now or
no, there was okay. No. And if there was nothing that I heard. And I feel that if that story was out there, it would have gotten a lot of play, especially this week.
Will he play with the Leafs this year?
I don't think so.
Okay, he might play with the Marlies.
No, I think the plan was that he was going to go back. I think he had 1 year left with his team on the other side of the Atlantic.
I'm going to have to catch up with that. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. I mean, he got signed. He's going to be developed. And it's just the natural progression of Liljegren is, you know, unless some remarkable things happen, there's a chance you'll see him 2 years from now.
How soon before too much weight is being cast on his shoulders by...
No one.
Twitter.
No, not the
team, but Twitter.
Very little.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yes, I don't buy this idea that so many Leaf fans are, you know, they're crazy and they're putting undue pressure. We didn't see that with Marner, Nylander, or Matthews. What there is, like anything in life, there's a small bit of loud Twitter, and then people in the media take that small thing, and then they go, oh, look at what everyone's doing, crushing this person. Doesn't exist. It's a myth.
What does Liljegren have that Marner, Matthews, and Nylander don't don't have.
I have no idea.
He's a defenseman, and those guys are not defensemen. And
no, but they take a while to develop.
They I mean, the Leafs need defensemen.
Yes, they do.
Young forwards, slobbered on young forwards, need defensemen. So I wonder how long before. Why isn't he here yet? There's not going to be any of that. Okay.
This market is smart enough for that. This market is more than smart enough for that. You're not going to hear any of that.
Is that has that been a constant over years, do you think? Or is that
No, things have changed. It's like anything in life. Things change. Opinions change. The way we view players and prospects.
Did it change with the current administration? Or
that played a part in it.
Have we become smarter as hockey fans?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
Which is a really boring answer. But it's a smarter administration from the top on down. And you don't get crazy leaks. You don't have agendas that get played out in the media. That's done. And fans are smarter now just because there's more information. You get more information, you get more educated, things change. The way we view sports now is different than we did 10 years ago, and who knows where we'll be 10 years from now.
We haven't talked about this, so permit me 2 minutes.
Go.
Patrick Marleau.
Okay.
What did you think?
Fine. I'm perfectly fine with it because the next 2 years, the Leafs have a ton of money to spend, and they've got you know, Matthews, they've got all these guys on rookie contracts. Didn't bother me at all. Perfectly fine with it. Veteran, let's see what it can help. Let's see what he does on the ice. If there's any sort of osmosis he can do to help develop the young players, great. You'd rather they were able to get a defenseman, especially when you look at what Shattenkirk signed with the Rangers, but it looked like he was always going to go to New York. So he was never going to come to Toronto, so I was fine with it.
I didn't get the sense there was a ton of heat for the defensemen that were available, and Shattenkirk comes with a term and a price tag that maybe is unappealing to a team that's quite so young. I like the Marleau deal just fine. If there's anything he can do, whatever his combination of yoga and ice baths and matcha and protein powders that has made him not miss a game since 2009 in such a terribly violent sport.
Yeah.
That is whatever he's doing,
keep doing.
Please impart that to everybody on the team because I think everybody would like to see Austin Matthews 82 plus playoffs every season for the rest of his life.
So we have a poll question out right now, and it's about, are you more of a Hotmail or a Gmail person?
Oh, I'm a Hotmail. Oh, sorry, you're referring to...
What do you use? And this is because we were, the prep for the show, I'm getting ripped on by our producer, Adrian, who couldn't remember her own password, and yet she decides to rip me for the fact I still use Hotmail. I have a BlackBerry, and so we're going to throw it out there at TSN 1050 Radio. Are you Hotmail or Gmail? And Adrian, I want a separate poll question to throw up, if we can, please. Do you shame people who still have Hotmail, yes or no? Because all I got was a torrent of abuse because I use Hotmail, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Can I defend Adrian for a second?
Go ahead.
There are so many passwords now. That I can absolutely understand she forgets her password. Yeah. I try to get my passwords around a central theme, but like which one is for this one?
Yeah.
Which one is for my banking? Which one is for my ESPN Insider? Which one's for RedTube? Like, it's all just super confusing as to which one is which.
What was the last one again?
I don't know what you're talking about. So it's super tough. What do you... Yeah, I get that. I don't... I'm old enough... That Hotmail. If I see a Hotmail address, I don't blink. If I saw mcause56@aol.com, then Netscape or something.
I don't
like
even
that.
Know what those things are.
You don't know it. You're pretending you don't know what AOL.
Netscape. I don't know what Netscape is.
Wasn't it a browser back in the day?
I don't know. It feels like you just made up two words.
Okay, I thought you were trying to tell me you didn't know AOL.
No, I know.
Didn't get those CDs in the mail like everybody else. Ooh. 15 hours of internet access for $4.95.
I got it.
Man, those were the days.
Steve Simmons is going to join us next. Speaking of those were the days, it was about 39 years ago to the day where a Toronto-based football team was offering up more money than the NFL could pay for current NFL stars to come and play for a Canadian team. It's a really interesting article that Steve Simmons wrote about. We'll talk to him about that. We'll see if we can, if he wants to touch on the Drew Doughty. Plus, if we have time, I want to ask him this question because he threw it on his Sunday column. Would sports be better off if you never knew how much any player made? Derek Taylor hates that idea. I kind of like it. That's all coming up. You're listening to TSN 1050. Listen in Overdrive. Welcome back to TSN 1050. This is Overdrive. Thanks so much for everyone listening. I'm Matt Cause. That's Derek Taylor. Filling in all this week for Brian Hayes, Jamie McLennan, and of course, Jeff O'Neill. We'll play you some fun sound from the ESPYs, and we'll play you some motivational sound a little bit later in the show. Because Peyton Manning's hosting it, and you can watch it on TSN. And Peyton Manning will be great, because he's very talented. We've seen him on Saturday Night Live, we've seen him on Bits. He is good. Like, so he'll do a great job. I miss Norm Macdonald. I wish you, and we'll play you some fun sound from Norm Macdonald. He hosted in the late 90s, and what I loved about Norm is he didn't give a bleep. Like, he did not care to respect all the, you know, all that professional sports is. Sort of the same way Ricky Gervais didn't care about Hollywood when he hosted the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
So while Peyton's going to be great, I miss Norm Macdonald.
Has there ever been a better athlete host of SNL than Peyton Manning?
No.
Correct.
Like, yeah.
That's one of the top 10 skits of all time. His United Way commercial.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Is one of the top skits. I'm not saying I'd kill a snitch.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Mommy! Yeah. No, honey, mommy's dead. How you doing? Like, yeah. He drills that kid in the back of the bean. You go sit in the portalette. Close the door. Like,
yeah.
Peyton Manning is awesome. His commercials are great. Like,
yes, oh,
his brother is 75% of what he is, you know, both on the field and in his commercials.
Not in the playoffs, but certainly in the regular season.
Yeah, it's
joining us now from the Toronto Sun. I just wanted, as a Giants fan, get that dig in and then run away. I wrote a really interesting piece today. It is Steve Simmons. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, guys. I didn't want to interrupt the whole Norm Macdonald thing. I think of him sitting by the pool in Billy Madison.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's a good pull. What day is it today? Was it February? Yes. He was fantastic. Lot to get to. We won't be able to get to all of it with you, Steve, but you wrote an interesting piece. 43 years ago, Toronto stole some of the biggest stars from the NFL by giving them more money to play for a new Toronto football team of the World Football League. That is something you would never hear today. A player going, I'm going to Toronto instead of the NFL because I want to make some real money.
Well, think of it this way. The Miami Dolphins were the best team in football, and they had won the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, and the Super Bowl MVP was Larry Zonka. And the Toronto yep. Northmen of the World Football League, having not played a game, the league had barely just begun, and they went out and signed Larry Zonka, Hall of Fame receiver Paul Warfield, and running back Jim Kick from the Miami Dolphins in a move that was so big, it made the cover of Time magazine, and it made the cover of the New York Times, and was announced live on Howard Cosell's ABC show. That's the kind of event that was at the time. The unfortunate aspect of it was the government of Canada did not allow the Toronto Northmen or the World Football League into Toronto because of the Canadian Football League. The team eventually moved to Memphis, played a season and a half in Memphis. The three guys from the Dolphins only played half a season because they had to fulfill their contracts. But when you look back, that was really the beginning of big money free agency in the United States.
And imagine put in today's perspective would be, you know, Tom Brady has decided he is going to fight with Ricky Ray for the starting job of the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, I mean, you can't. There's nothing to compare to because, you know, there was a USFL. We saw that for a short time and that didn't matter. But this was just crazy, crazy. John Bassett was a dreamer. But he wasn't just a dreamer. He was a guy, when he dreamt something, he pulled it off. And so Bassett said, why don't we go and get the absolute, you know, biggest names off the best team, off the big, you know. At that time, the Miami Dolphins, they were the New England Patriots. They were probably bigger at that time than the Patriots are because they'd won two in a row, and they had the undefeated season. And so they didn't maybe have that great star quarterback, But you think of it in terms of anything today, there is nothing to compare this to. And I started thinking about it when my old friend Leo Cahill got sick. And I thought, you know, someone should tell this story before he passes. And Leo's still alive, and I got a chance to talk to Herb Solway, who's a lawyer in his 80s, who had amazing recollection of everything. And I got to talk to Larry Zonka, and I got to talk to Paul Warfield. And it was really interesting to hear how, you know, they came here really with the intention of just upping their contracts. And what happened in the end was they not upping their contracts, but they were just doing this as a contract negotiation. And what at the end of the day, you know, they wound up, Zonka wound up making 8 times his salary.
God. Nuts.
To sign with a league that never played.
Can we all agree we just go down and offer Tom Brady $200 million to come up here and play? Can we get that under the cap somehow? They could change some rules.
The funny thing, they actually did that for Flutie, you know. They paid him in a different way.
Yeah, when the personal
played.
Services?
Yeah, they paid him in a different way, and it worked out well. He won a couple of Grey Cups, and the rest of the league kind of bitched about it, and so they should have. Because they were circumventing, but they were doing it to try and prop up Toronto. But at the end of the day, it didn't happen that way. And you know, they wouldn't allow it any longer. And Flutie left, and you know, Don Matthews left, and that was the end of that Argo dynasty. But you know,
Rocket Ishmael.
I'm fascinated. You know, the only comparable would be Rocket Ishmael.
Yep, 20 years after your story, yeah.
And they went and they signed Rocket Ishmael, who was going to be the first pick in the NFL draft. And they did that with again, crazy money at the time and all of that. But, you know, you don't see these things very often. And, you know, Cahill had a great imagination and Bassett had a great imagination. And you put the two of them together. And in talking to Herb Solway, he was the lawyer on this, he's fascinated because Bassett would say, well, here's what we have to pay them. And Herb said, we can't afford that. And he said, let's do it. You know, and at the point, they didn't have a stadium to play in. They didn't have a place for tickets. They hadn't sold a seat. And they're offering these guys 8 times more than they were making in the NFL. And it's like, you know, how are we going to pay them? And John Bass says, oh, we'll find a way. And the lawyer sitting there saying, you know, how are we going to pay them? Like, he was all nervous about the deal. And you can see that, you know, somebody had to worry. He said, but, you know, Johnny Bassett didn't worry about that kind of stuff. And that's why he, you know, was in the WHA and he was in the USFL and he was in the he was in the World Football League, and he was the first guy to bring Hair the musical to Toronto, and he, you know, he financed movies back when Canadians weren't financing movies. And he just had an amazing way about him, and his father was, you know, the owner of CTV, which didn't hurt at the time either.
Steve, today the NFL is an unstoppable multi-billion-dollar machine that I can't even imagine what would overtake it. What was it like in the '70s? What was the thought of a counter football league to the NFL back in the '70s? Was it as ridiculous as it would be today?
Well, there was always the belief that there was room for another league if you did it the right way and you sort of did it in a sensible way. But it never quite came off. I mean, the USFL came close, I guess, to pulling it off, and they didn't do it. And the XFL tried, and they didn't do it. The World League tried, and they didn't do it. And I remember a great story. The Birmingham team.
Barracuda. The Birmingham Barracuda.
Matt Duggan.
By Jack Gotta. No, not the Barracudas. I think it was the Birmingham Americans in the World Football League.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm thinking the CFL expansion. Sorry, my bad.
We're the last team to win a championship. As they're celebrating spraying champagne and all of that, the bankruptcy attorneys and police are in the dressing room taking their equipment, like stickers on the helmets and putting them in boxes and stickers on the shoulder pads. It was like they're celebrating, and guys are just like taking their shoes and, you know, taking the footballs and all that stuff. It was, Jack says, it was one of the great scenes you'd ever see, because, you know, here they were, and you know they just had the great moment of winning that championship, and I believe it was the only championship in they only played a year and a half, the World Football League.
The Birmingham Americans beat
the only champ.
Go ahead,
and,
Steve.
And they, you know, just to be in that dressing room while there's sheriffs and bailiffs, you know, taking your shoulder pads and your helmets as you're spraying champagne around.
Oh, that's an emotional roller coaster. Steve, before we let you go, one Leafs question, and not about Timothy Liljegren, who just signed his entry-level contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kevin McGrath from The Star was on talking about Drew Doughty, and it's one of these stories that can pick up a little bit of steam because it's the summer and there isn't as much going on. And, you know, I guess my question is, will Drew Doughty knock John Tavares away from the speculation game of which big-name star is going to be coming to Toronto?
Kevin McGrath is a friend of mine. So I'm going to try and answer this as nicely as I can.
All right.
Change the subject.
Perfect. Steve, what's the best barbecue you've had this summer?
Other than my own house?
There you go.
Carbon Bar.
Yes. Carbon Bar is
Queen Street.
Yeah, on Queen East. It's Carbon Bar is fantastic. Steve, great answer. Great way to end it. You have a good summer. We'll chat with you soon, sir.
Take care, guys.
Steve Simmons from the Toronto Sun.
December 1974, the Birmingham Americans lead 22-0 after three quarters of play.
Yeah.
The Florida Blazers score three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, yet fail on all of their action point attempts.
Action point!
Yeah, because you got seven for a touchdown, and then you could run or pass for an action point.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham Americans win it 22-21, and then apparently get all their gear repossessed immediately afterward. Guys, don't swallow that champagne. We're going to need to take that.
Hold on. Imagine they took the rings and they say, they can never take this away from you. This was the one time when, yes, in fact, they can take it away from you. Coming up next, we're going to tell you how the city of Toronto and Canada just saved about $20 billion. Derek, is it, how accurate is this statement? Milos Raonic is the Toronto Raptors. They're going to win a lot. They're going to win a lot of games, a lot of sets, but they're never going to win a championship.
You're confining that to the current configuration of the Toronto Raptors.
The current. I'm not talking about
and the current state of the NBA.
Yes. Not talking 25 years from now. I am talking here in July of 2017.
Yeah, and I think you could say that, yeah, Milos Raonic is the mid-1990s Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Except there's not just one Michael Jordan-led Bulls. There's four.
Yeah.
There's Federer, there's Nadal, there's Murray, there's Djokovic.
Yeah, exactly. When we talked to Mark Masters the other day, you know, we asked him, what chances does he have to beat Federer? And he's Masters, I don't think it's going to happen. And that speaks to the gap. Even though he beat Federer last year, the gap that Milos has against the top couple players, especially when they're healthy.
Yeah, and we really saw Federer healthy today. We didn't see it for very long because it didn't go particularly long. And the rest of the draw fell exactly the way, you know, if you want Milos to win a Grand Slam, hey, Murray, gone.
Yeah.
Joker, gone.
Yeah.
Is Sam Querrey, Marion Cilic. I forget who Federer takes on in the semifinals, but that's one Raonic could have won. All you had to do was beat the best player ever.
Yeah.
So it's but what do you do about that? There was, when I was in Winnipeg, I was covering every sport, of course, and there was a kid who dove. His name is Kevin Giesen. And I watched him, and this is the time that Alexandre Patti is the best diver you ever saw. And I thought, here's a young man who gets up every morning at 3 a.m. to go work out, and then you could be the second best diver in the world, and you're going to be the second best diver in your own country. That is really hard to think about.
I don't feel bad for this guy. The sponsorship money for divers is tons. I bet he's making millions.
He has STP oil across the front and stuff. So yeah,
that's a good point.
It's tough, but at some point, 35 becomes 38, and 38 becomes 36 becomes 39, and Raonic will not be that old, and so he just don't get discouraged by the fact he played in the same era with some of the greatest of all time.
Yep. Little piece of news that might have slipped, I wouldn't say it slipped under the cracks. Landsberg and the guys were talking about it this morning on the morning show. The IOC has unanimously approved a plan to award Paris and LA the 2024 and 2028 Olympic Games at once.
Yes!
So they made it both at once. It wasn't a big buildup. And I think the IOC is realizing a lot of these leading cities that they'd like to see host Olympics are, you know, they're sort of backing off. But like, nope, we'll give these to you. You know, you don't have to do the huge, you don't have to spend as much money with your presentation. They're your games. And the question is, if you're a Torontonian, how do you feel about this?
Oh.
Because London cost about 18 billion Canadian. Now, you could say that Canada, obviously, the time has passed, so it might be more expensive, but it might be less, because I don't know if security is, you're going to spend as much on security in London as you would in Canada. That's a topic for another day. But how do you feel about the fact that this means Toronto is not going to be getting the Summer Olympic Games?
Just waiting to give everybody a chance to answer for themselves. My answer is deliriously happy.
Mm-hmm.
Deliriously happy. What? We don't need all these buildings. The remnants of the Pan Am Games mm-hmm. are tremendous. I was driving up in Markham the other day, and they had the Markham Pan Am Pool.
Yep.
That facility is outstanding.
Yep.
But
there's some great pools throughout the city that were created because of it. There was some good infrastructure, but the Pan Am Games, you got to remember, is about a fifth the size of the Summer
exactly.
Olympics. There's 41 nations in the Pan Am Games versus 204, and Montreal, they financed that Olympics with a tobacco tax of some sort, and it took them 30 years to pay that off.
Yeah, and so now it would be so much worse because cost overruns would be so much worse.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, just think about what it's taken in the city to expand subway lines and the debate and all that. And do we rip down this part of the garden?
And that's another part. This city council can't agree on anything. And they're spending all this money, and we're getting one extra subway line, which is ridiculous. And it was going back and forth, LRT, subway. And I'm fine with the city and the country spending money for the infrastructure. We know what's going on in the Portland, area. And I'm fine. I don't know if you heard about this. They're talking about, and it would cost a couple billion, putting a giant deck over where the train tracks are in downtown Toronto, and it would basically create a giant park. It would make Toronto look more like Chicago, with Millennium okay. Park, where it connects the downtown with the waterfront. And that would cost a couple billion. And Tory's been throwing that around. I'm for infrastructure for Toronto. It creates jobs, it creates tourism, but I'm with you. I'm glad the Olympics aren't coming here.
Has there been a Summer Olympics that was not an economic disaster?
I think Atlanta in 96, because they really pushed the hell out of Coke. But even and by the way, that's the only one I can maybe think of, and I could be wrong.
China might have been, might not have been.
We'll never know.
We don't get a ton of news from China.
We will never know.
The pictures from Athens are funny. Like, they're just, they're funny sad.
Yeah.
Right? They're not ha-ha funny. They are funny sad. That the pictures from Brazil.
Yes. Oh.
Are sad. I don't know if they're even funny, but they're just sad.
And, I mean, it's not as comparable in terms of economy and government, what that is versus what we have in Ontario, but it doesn't matter. The games would be so expensive.
We have to not pretend that these things bring in money.
Mm-hmm.
Professional sports teams, study after study shows, they don't really bring in money. So
it's net neutral.
It would not be or net you're going broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone says, hey, let's spend $2 billion and relocate an NFL team, really?
Yeah.
There's now two for a stadium, so there's four, and the jobs don't come with that. It doesn't benefit. The only benefit, lasting benefit of an Olympic Games to Toronto would be the infrastructure that it would have to leave behind. And I mean, like, I'm not talking buildings, like roadways and public transportation, but, I mean, again, billions
yes.
of dollars.
Now, if you could guarantee us, 15 more subway stops, maybe I'll talk. That's not going to happen.
You're an Etobicoke guy.
Yep. I've been in downtown Toronto since 2004, but before that, Etobicoke.
You've always been in Toronto.
Yeah.
How did a subway never go to York University? I see this thing that says future subway stop.
I know.
I'm like, and I was there a year ago to see a football game. Oh, they're building a subway stop here. How did the subway never go to York?
Blame 50 years of mayors, of councilmen, councilwomen. You know, this goes, you have to look back at so many past mayors. So what
York University
now.
Is not a small university.
No, it's not.
If you're not having a subway stop immediately at, say, George Brown, or UT Scarborough, okay, fine.
Yep.
But York University didn't have a subway I'm fascinated by some of this.
We have two polls that are up. The first is, do you use Hotmail or Gmail? 33% Hotmail, 67% Gmail. I was getting shamed by almost every member of the Overdrive staff, all the interns. And then we threw up another poll. Do you shame people who use Hotmail? Only 24% say yes, they do, while the other 76% say they don't.
Well, shame is an outward act, right? You may feel embarrassed for mattcause@hotmail.com.
I get shamed, made fun of all the time about my BlackBerry. You've done it today.
Absolutely.
And same thing with my Hotmail account. Coming up, we will play some of our favorite sound from the ESPYs. We've got a great non-sports food conversation I want to get into.
Oh, the one we were having a couple days ago?
Yes. And good. Okay, here's the question. And you can tweet us at DT on SC. I'm MCause56. You can tweet us. What we want to know is this. What are food items that are all the rage now, or food terms, or anything in the world of food, that was big, that's big today, that no one knew anything about in 2007? So we got a lot to get to on the show. Plus, Nick Stauskas is going to be joining us from the 76ers, special TSN ESPYs correspondent. He's down there for the ESPYs. We'll talk to him as well. That's all coming up right here on TSN 1050. Oh, we're going to have fun in this segment. This could bleed throughout the show. This is Overdrive. I'm Matt Cause. That is Derek Taylor. You're listening to Overdrive. I think I just said that. Filling in for Brian Hayes, Jamie McLennan, and Jeff O'Neill right here on TSN 1050. In a second, we will get to the ESPYs, but wanted to throw out a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the summer. And the one great thing about the summer is people get nervous this time of year if you're in our business because there's less to talk about. Some people, like Dave Naylor and a lot of others, they flee. They run away like cowards because there's less topics. Others,
Dave's
heroes.
Dave's topless on the golf course somewhere. That guy's just being smart.
No, it's always the same time. He says, this is the week. Because guess what? You know what golf courses? They're open in late August. And the sun is still out.
Well, not in this town. But okay, I get in regular cities.
Listen, don't... You know I'm right.
Raining.
We, on the other hand, though, are heroes. Because we're here for these sort of tough days. But it brings up a question I wanted to throw out, because we were talking about it the other day while prepping for the show. What are foods that everyone, or trends in the world of food, that everyone is talking about now, but was never a thing a decade ago?
Yeah.
Like back in 2007. And I put together a list, and some of it, like one of my buddies, Bill, texted me something. I'm like, dude, that's at the top of my list. So I'll throw out some.
Okay.
But please feel free to comment.
I'm just scratching down a list that I assume we'll have many in common.
We're going to have a lot of crossover. And you can text us or you can tweet us at MCause56 or DT on SC as well. Quinoa.
Was not a thing 10 years ago.
I had no idea what quinoa was. And it's taken so... Now, like, is quinoa healthy? Is it not healthy? It's like, oh, it's still, you know, a carb or whatever. Quinoa is going to be the top list. I had no idea. Now, there's 17 different quinoa salads. And, like, everywhere. Even, like not even, like, highfalutin places. I go to Jack Astor's. There's two different quinoa salads.
Good.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
Avocado. We all liked avocado. Avocado was always around. But avocado, because now it's a superfood. No, it's a good fat. You need that fat. There's bad fats, there's good fats. This is a good fat.
That's a Seinfeld episode right there, yep. Avocado, agreed.
Greek yogurt.
Oh, that one is enormous. Cam Newton has his own Greek yogurt.
I know. Oh, again, good fat. And then you hear words like probiotics. Who the hell ever mentioned probiotics?
Oh, the pooping yogurt as an ancillary to Greek yogurt, the Jamie Lee Curtis pooping yogurt.
I know, it's like, Jamie Lee Curtis, don't you be the pooping yogurt advocate. Here's another big one, kale.
That's it's great, and you can chip it, you can put it in a salad. No, it's bitter nonsense.
Yeah, it's exactly. I only use it in shakes. When I do like a protein shake, bam, it's in there. The use of the term superfood, so arrogant. I'm looking at you, acai or a sea
acai.
Acai berry. Oh, it's a superfood. Well, I feel bad for the banana. So, well, I'm not a superfood.
Have you eaten acai berries? Yes.
Yeah.
Have you tasted them though? I honestly have no idea what they taste like. Like they've been in some smoothie, and I don't know if they have a flavor.
Yeah.
Like are they like a blueberry or a blackberry or
no idea.
Yeah, goji berry in that same vein.
Goji berry.
Oh, those are they're a superfood. Really?
Yeah. Beat it.
Eat it.
I got to tell you, someone at the goji berry, the goji bear lobby, they're the ones that got that term thrown out.
Honestly, it's probably all advertising that led us to this. Sweet potatoes.
Yes. Sweet potato, much bigger now. Absolutely.
People talked about yams back in the day, but sweet potato. Oh, because potatoes are going to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, unless you throw them at me from a moving car, then no, they're probably not going to kill me.
Chia seeds. Thank you.
Yeah.
I could not have screwed that up more.
Yep.
How about this one? The use of the term protein. Before it was a salad. For another couple bucks, we throw some chicken in. Now it's like, would you like some protein with your salad? It could be steak. It could be chicken.
That's right.
It could be tuna. Just throw in the Southwest blackened chicken. Why are you using the term protein?
Looking at you, freshie across the street. Pistachios.
Okay.
Are a huge... Steve Colbert ends up doing a pistachio commercial. Yeah. Now I get 6 pounds of them at Costco for $5. It's great.
Gourmet mac and cheese. I love gourmet mac and cheese, but it used to just be, do you put bacon or not in your gourmet? Now the mac and cheese thing is a huge deal. You get it with like lobster.
How far away from the original orange do you get with mac and cheese? Because the KD original orange is all I will ever use.
We don't have time for that. That's a huge topic.
So you stray from the original.
I will use most of the orange cheese, but I will grade some real cheese, add it in, and I will cook bacon. That's my gourmet craft dinner.
Nice.
Two more real quick. The term farm to table.
Yep.
And finally, I can't believe I didn't think about it. Mark Mullen, throw it out there. Gluten.
Gluten is not on my list.
Gluten-free, gluten allergy, gluten.
My wife is not celiac, but she's convinced she's gluten.
I don't know what that means.
Sigh. Well, celiac is that you're actually, to my understanding, allergic to the protein gluten.
Yeah.
And it really goofs you up.
Yeah.
And I may be understating it that, but a lot of people are, I have a gluten allergy, but give me the breadsticks.
Yeah.
What?
Here's my thought, and then we got to go. We got a lot of ESPY stuff we're going to do. We got a lot of fun stuff, and the Jim Valvano, some of his speeches, which always brings a tear to my eye. We're going to play some of that in the 5 o'clock hour. For people that are legitimately allergic to gluten and affects you on a day-to-day basis, I feel bad for you. I hope you seek whatever treatment you need, but I think there is some sort of relationship between the better your nation is doing in terms of your GDP, you have a higher level of gluten allergies. I will leave it at that. Nick Stauskas is going to be joining us next. That's Derek Taylor. I'm Matt Cause. You're listening to Overdrive right here on TSN 1050.